This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Climate change, with its superstorms and rising sea levels, are a concern for much of the planet and pose a particular challenge for coastal towns and cities like Boston. Consider the impact of Hurricane Sandy last year on coastal New York and New Jersey. And it's no wonder that climate scientists project that Boston's Back Bay could one day become the Venice section of Boston.
With that in mind, today Governor Deval Patrick announced a new set of initiatives to prepare the state for the impact of climate change on public health, transportation, and basic infrastructure. The plan includes a $40 million grant program to help cities and towns protect energy services and clean water supplies, and to help coastal communities prepare for higher sea levels.
The governor spoke earlier today at the New England Aquarium.
What is the cost of inaction? We are trying to be thoughtful and not careless, but to think big and to act, if you will, commensurate with the challenge.
For a closer look at the governor's plan and for some analysis of the challenge ahead, we're joined by Seth Kaplan, Vice President for Policy and Climate Advocacy at the Conservation Law Foundation. And Seth Kaplan, welcome to the program. Good to have you.
It's great to be here.
So before we talk about some of the specifics in the governor's plan, give us your sense of how climate change has affected states like Massachusetts. What should we be paying attention to?
Well, what we need to pay attention to is the unfolding of a very long and very deep process that's going to reshape our weather, the very landscape, the very shape of our state. Hmm. Catalyzing event for so much of this was Superstorm Sandy. And, what I've said about this is it's almost like we're in the foxhole. And the guy next to us got hit by a bullet, and that was New York. And only by sheer chance and timing were those pictures of downtown Manhattan instead of the office buildings around Faneuil Hall. And that was about as clear and direct a message that we need to take action because these impacts are unfolding all around us.
Well, one of the initiatives in Governor Patrick's plan is this $40 million grant program by the Department of Energy Resources to help municipalities protect energy infrastructure. How specifically would you like to see that money used?
Well, there are so many things to be done. And so many things that can be done that both will end up reducing emissions so that we are actually helping to get at the root cause of the problem at the same time that we make our energy systems more resilient. But this money is going to have to be spent very carefully. And, there's a lot of very difficult choices to be made. A lot of wires that are above ground are going to have to be put underground. Mm. We're going to have to make big investments in distributed generation, solar panels on roofs, as opposed to just relying on a few big power plants. But, that kind of down payment is an important step, but we're going to have to make this more systematic. The old line is that war is too important to be left up to generals. Mm-hmm. Global warming is too important to be left up to environmentalists. This kind of disaster preparation is too important to be left up for disaster preparation. It needs to be embedded in the DNA of our energy system, an energy system that started out as very, very centralized with a few big power plants and a few big wires. And that's a very, very vulnerable system. It needs to be a much more distributed system where the generation is much closer. It's as close as your own roof to where you use the energy. And we need to make sure that we have multiple backups in place. And we need to be, quite honestly, ready for outages. Being able to restore quickly through broad distribution of smart technologies that can turn things on very quickly can be just as important as making sure they stay up.
I want to ask you as well, the governor's plan would also help coastal communities prepare for the effects of rising sea levels. Does that include requiring residents to think about a transition away from areas that are inevitably going to hit by higher sea levels?
Well, that's the really hard part, especially for folks in government who need to get reelected and need to be responsive to the people. looking someone in the eye and telling them that their neighborhood just simply is not going to be able to make it, or that even their flood insurance premium is going to go up, is a very, very hard thing to do. What we need to do is move very aggressively, but we can't afford to panic. The definition of panicking here is simply mindlessly rebuilding on the same spot where it was before in the same way, and it is putting up armoring the beach through seawalls. Quite honestly, it's the same kind of panic that leads folks to build gas pipelines or gas-fired power plants when in the long run, and the long run ain't that long, we're talking like 2030, 2040, we need to really be off of natural gas. We need to be thoughtful. We need to take short-term steps that are deeply consistent with where we need to get to in the longer run.
Last question, and just in the sort of 15 or 20 seconds that remain, in terms of being prepared for climate change, do you think Massachusetts is ahead of the curve, behind? How is this state doing?
Well, unfortunately, we're better than many because a lot of places haven't thought about it at all. And, you know, but we have a long, long way to go. You know, if you live on a street that, you know, that has the word brook or creek anywhere near, you know, you need to worry because there is an old stream probably in a pipe underneath your street. And that's why your basement gets wet sometimes when it rains. And that water is coming. And we need to take action both to deal with the immediate impact through storm control, through flood control, and through being able to absorb the water into the ground and better management. And we need to take action to reduce our emissions because we've gotten to a point where we cannot stop this freight train. We need to manage its impacts.
Well, call to action there from Seth Kaplan, Vice President for Policy and Climate Advocacy at the Conservation Law Foundation. Seth, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.